Welcome to Energy Matters, where we explore alternative health in the Pioneer Valley. I'm your host, Caroline Rutterman, and I'm a Reiki professional and intuitive in Northampton, Massachusetts. For the past 9 years, I've been teaching people how to use their intuition and helping them reduce stress and anxiety. Together, we'll talk with other practitioners and learn how they bring health and healing to the Pioneer Valley. Let's do this. Welcome to Energy Matters. You are listening to Caroline Rutterman, and we are here chatting with Hannah Jacobson-Hardy today from Sweet Birch Herbals. And welcome, Hannah.
So good to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. So Hannah, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
I am a community herbalist and holistic health practitioner and food entrepreneur. I have a small herbal practice based in Williamsburg, Massachusetts, and I make value-added products with herbs that I grow and ghee, which is clarified butter, and then I see clients and teach workshops.
Fabulous. So what is community herbal medicine? Tell us a little bit more about what that is, because that feels like a big idea.
Yeah. So I see it as a few parts. One being working with somebody, you know, locally who is connected to the regional ecosystem and the plants that are growing in where we are, you know, New England. And and I see it as offering multiple scales. So I work at a clinic part of the time. Mm-hmm. So offering consultations to people that may not be able to afford the higher end alternative holistic medicine. And I also think of it as an educational, so teaching workshops and classes to community members about how to make your own herbal medicines and get to know the plants that are growing around here and how they have different benefits for the body.
Absolutely. That's really cool. That's really cool. And, you know, I think something that I had read on your website, too, was, you know, falling in line with that idea of offering community services to people along the sliding scale. I saw something that you had written about as that you like the idea of a gift economy. Can you tell us a little bit more about what a gift economy is for you in a capacity of work?
Yeah, so I don't like the idea of turning anybody away for lack of funds. So I keep that as an option, you know, if somebody really needs support and would like that from me, then I'm not going to turn somebody away for not being able to come up with the money aspect of it, because I see what I'm offering as a gift and I see what I'm receiving from my clients is also a gift to be with people and support them in their health. So I just like having that option available, because there's so many gifts that we can all offer each other. And I find that if I'm coming from a place of a scarcity mentality, then that's what I manifest. And so
absolutely.
If I come from a place of abundance, that my needs will be met and that I'm offering gifts and receiving gifts, that there's going to be that free flow of giving and receiving. So that's where I like to live from, is that place of abundance.
That's really cool. That is really cool. And, you know, I think that, you know, that has nothing to, you know, money is such a loaded subject. And, you know, we've had conversations with past guests about mindfulness moments around money and this idea of scarcity and all that kind of stuff. And I really do like the different ways that we can think about abundance and flowing and different ways of kind of creating that space for us to hold around this thing that we might have a lot of fear around. So that's a really cool idea. So the gift economy would be if somebody said, oh, well, I have this beautiful quilt that my mom made and, you know, can I offer this to you as an exchange of treatment, those kind of things, or cook you winter meals once a week for a month or something like that. That's the idea of the gift economy.
Yeah, exactly. And if it's a gift that I don't feel I need, then, you know, we can, because it's important to not, you know, just say, yeah, sure, I'll take whatever, because
Absolutely.
That's not being very honest with myself.
Right.
But if it's saying, well, actually, I need help, like, that sounds lovely, like, I would love a home-cooked meal, but I would much prefer help with this aspect of my life right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, come hang out with my garden and help me harvest some herbs. Like,
yeah.
That, you know, just having that option to ask for what I would like too.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that can bring you value.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's neat. So tell us a little bit about how you got into all this work. And because I really know you as somebody who, like, when I think of you, I'm just like, this is a woman of the earth. You know, I really just imagine you in, you know, the woods and at the markets. And I really see you as somebody who works so closely with plants. And can you tell us a little bit about how you got into this journey? Did you grow up doing this work or did you come into it later? Tell us a little bit about how you got started in wildcrafting and herbal medicine and all this world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I grew up a quarter mile from here in Florence. So
okay.
I did not grow up on a farm, mm-hmm. but I have parents that would take me hiking and take me to Smith Vocational High School to look at
cool.
the animals.
Aww.
And so I was exposed to nature and, you know, going on trips as a kid to camping and things to get me outdoors. So I think that's had a lot to do with why I'm interested in staying connected to the earth and gardening and herbal medicine. But then the aspect of health and wellness, it kind of came in through studying about food systems and food justice work and that curiosity of why we're so distant from where our food comes from. And then I zoomed out further and saw that we're, you know, often disconnected from the earth in general. So including food, but beyond that, just being in nature. You know, I read this book, The Last Child of the Woods, and I thought, wow, you know, the impact that not being in nature has on children is too great. So I think it wasn't really until college that I went to UMass and discovered herbal medicine classes there and studied with Chris Morano of Clear
yeah.
Path Herbals.
Yeah, he's a fixture in this area,
yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah, and so I would take his classes, and then after graduating from UMass, he had a larger program going on, so I did that after school and continued to study with him in Western Mass area.
Were his classes, were Chris Morano's classes part of UMass?
Yeah, that's how I met him.
Wow.
He offered a one credit class at UMass. So very grateful that's where I met him.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. You never know what that one little curiosity will take when you take something a little out of your normal realm or whatever. It can lead you down all kinds mm-hmm. of paths. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So that really introduced you to a lot of the local herbs and the wildcrafting and all of that?
Yeah, I think the second year program, or the first year program with Chris was about cultivating the healer within.
Mm.
And I took that to mean just really discovering which plants felt really good to me and healing different things inside myself. Because, you know, to be a healer, we have to really take responsibility for our own healing too. So, and I had a few health issues in college that working with an herbalist really made a huge impact on migraines and digestive issues that I didn't want to take, you know, pharmaceuticals. So that was really inspiring to see the change in my body with responding to plant-based medicine. And then from there, it was, you know, how to work with clients and family members. And so I started asking friends and family if they wanted to sit down with me and talk about herbs and health and wellness. So,
yeah. That's cool. Did you have like a big aha moment when you were working with herbs and healing your own migraines and digestive stuff? Or was it a little slower? Or what was, because I think that sometimes when we're talking about regular medicine, you know, people want that pill. Or, well, I'm not going to project what people want or what people don't want.
Sometimes I want the pill.
Yeah, right. I know.
I have a really bad headache. You know?
Yeah, like I want to fix this right now.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think sometimes when we go inward and we're processing things, we start uncovering things we don't always want to look at. You know, the journey can be a little bit more it's a different depth of journey, you know, when we start really doing some of this internal work. But what was the relationship like with the herbs and the times that you were kind of working on your migraines and the digestive system? Can you tell us a little bit about what types of herbs that you were working with or what your experiences were a little more specifically?
Yeah, I don't remember the specific herbs, but I know the kind of herbs was a lot of adaptogens.
Okay.
And carminatives.
Okay. What are adaptogens?
Adaptogens are they are herbs that help the body respond to stress with more ease and restore damaged cells from stress. Mm. So you can respond to issues that are arising in your life without the reactivity. So it's just a kind of a mellow, building, calming nervous system support.
Cool.
And then carminatives are herbs like cinnamon and turmeric and cardamom in a lot of Indian cooking, curries and spices, and chai tea is full of carminatives. So those kind of aid the digestive process and help to assimilate nutrients.
Very cool.
And I would say also that where I am, I'm jumping ahead, but now is that I think a lot of what I'm learning is to really listen to the plants. Mm. And at that time in my life, it was a lot about gathering data and researching and learning every single constituent and action that the plants did.
It's your college years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the college mentality. Yeah. Sit down and memorize and learn this stuff.
Right. And now I'm like, not opening the books as much. So really just going and sitting with the plants and asking them, you know, what can you tell me today, if anything?
Yeah.
And that's just a different, they're all inclusive, you know?
Yep.
But that's something that I'm curious about right now.
Very cool. Very cool. And I find that, you know, the knowledge, the book knowledge that you have when you start incorporating more an intuitive type work, it just tends to inform, you know, each other in a really, really beautiful way. It's almost that the plants and nature, it's always like, so it already kind of knows that you have that information in your energy field and can be more specific. It's like, oh, you know about this and this already, and it can give you very specific type of information to fill in those gaps.
Totally. I've noticed that, like, everything kind of comes in threes sometimes. So if I'll be like thinking about, if I'm learning about a certain plant, then I would just see it everywhere, you know. I would start showing up and, you know, growing along the side of the road, or I would hear somebody mention it, or I would see it in a tincture bottle in a store. And that's when I'm like, oh, maybe that plant has something for me. So it's been I would say it's been more of a relationship than like this, you know, all in my head.
Yeah.
More in the intuition realm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
In that way. That's really neat. How do your herbal consultations work now? So you went from having the formal study, learning a lot, having your kind of traditional mentorships through colleges and just really the book knowledge, and now you're helping other people. How did you make that shift from feeling like you were doing a lot of self-study and knowing about these plants to feeling like you were armed and equipped and ready to support other people?
I think it's just a deep yearning to help people. You know, when you feel excited and passionate about something, and you want to just spread the wisdom and share it. So it's that, like, that abundance thing. Like, if I have a really big basket full of some plants, that I'm not going to, you know, eat an entire basket of like delicata squash, right? Like that night.
So, it's a lot of squash.
Yeah. Probably would be nice to share it.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it was that turning point of yeah, like, it would be selfish not to. I gotta share this, you know? It's not mine to keep. Mm. And I think people, you know, I'd hope would benefit from it. And that was when I just started offering, like, classes and consultations, and people seemed interested, you know? I don't think I'd be here doing this if people weren't interested in what I was doing.
Yeah.
So there's that feedback from the community, you know, like, that keep going, keep doing this. We love this. You know?
Yeah, that's cool. So what is an herbal consultation? Can you kind of break it down a little bit? Why would somebody come to see you for, like, what are, just kind of break it down. Like, who comes to see you and for what, and what does the consultation itself look like?
Yeah, so I usually offer them out of my home office or at a clinic in Greenfield, and they take about an hour, sometimes a little more, and just getting to know each other and going through a little bit of health history, asking a lot of questions, tuning into, I use the five element system of Chinese medicine. So
awesome.
Just exploring the different organ systems of the body, and I'll maybe take some pulses or look at the tongue. It's another diagnostic tool in Chinese medicine. And from there, it's more of a conversation, you know, a discussion, and just building trust with someone.
Yeah.
And asking questions in places where I think there may be some, you know, information to share and be open about. And trying to get to the root of things. Okay. So it's not like a 15-minute go into your doctor's office and, you know, okay, vitals, all right, you're alive, you know?
Yeah. We know that you're 5'6".
Yeah. Which is important, too.
Sure.
You know, to get physicals. But it's really nice to have both options, you know, holistic medicine and allopathic medicine. So, and then from there, often we'll either make up a formula for someone or blend a tea, whatever they need. And so they can go home with herbal products that then I'll show them how to incorporate them. Sometimes there's recipes that I suggest, and I follow up with an email with the wellness protocol that's, I try to keep to one page, but sometimes it's a couple pages.
Yeah.
And then we decide whether or not we want to check back in and how long. And, sometimes what I'm exploring now is doing plant spirit journeys, which if someone's interested in really getting to know the plants and what plants are speaking to them and for what reasons, we spend part of the time after having a conversation going out into the gardens. And just that's more of an intuitive journey. So where are our bodies drawn to be on the land at that moment?
Yes.
It's never totally random.
Yeah. We were just talking a little bit about your work as an herbalist and as an alchemist. And if anyone is out there listening at home, you can check out her website at sweetbirchherbals.com. And from there, you know, you have a great blog, Farming for Justice, which is all connected. And Hannah is also the mastermind behind Full Moon Ghee, or one of the masterminds, I should say. I know you have a team of folks that is behind your Full Moon Ghee. But I want to keep chatting a little bit about your plant spirit workshops as part of or that kind of work in sync with your herbal consultations. Do you recommend the plant spirit journeys for people who are coming into your herbal consultations? Like, do you often say, like, hey, I would like to continue doing this work, like, I think that you need to go a little deeper with this? Or is it a person by person basis? How do you know when to start folding that work in with people?
Yeah, it's kind of up to the person, you know, and if they want to explore more about being, you know, out in the gardens with the plants directly and absorbing the energy of the plants in that way, or, you know, they can also take herbs and have it that way. But I've just started to offer this actually only a month ago. So this fairly new offering, doing the plant spirit work. And it came to me from a place of really listening to the plants and asking them how they want to serve people and how they want to be seen and incorporated into our bodies. And so they showed me that they just really want to have conversations with people through the way they smell, you know, the touching them, eating them, having that direct contact. And I was offering that in my workshops with larger groups, but it's quite special to just do it one-on-one with people and really have that intimate connection with the plants. And, you know, we'll talk about the benefits of each one, you know, after the journey, but to be just absorbing the energy of the earth and that nurturance, really surrendering into the arms of Mother Earth for our time together. It's powerful.
So what does it look like if somebody, you're like, okay, we're going to meet at such and such time. Where do you go? What are you guys doing? What kind of activities are you doing? Can you walk us through a little bit about what it looks like from the outside?
Sure. So in the summertime when it's warm.
No, days gone by.
Yeah. Well, still do it for another couple months. But as it gets colder, I'm not sure if it'll be more an indoors thing, you know,
okay,
with the dried plants or flowers. And but it's generally, you know, allowing the person to see where they feel comfortable on the land. Like, are you drawn to the woods more? Are you drawn to the field? Are you drawn to the gardens, flowers? Just really supporting and trusting that the individual knows where they want to be. And then I'm there as kind of a facilitator between the plants and the person. And it's gone many ways. I offer shiatsu as well. So one time it was just offering shiatsu on the ground outside on a blanket, placing the plants in different parts of the body and allowing them to absorb that energy of shiatsu, which is gentle acupressure and massage, and the energy of the plants and the bumblebees buzzing around and the birds flying over.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so magical.
Yeah, like a sunflower on her heart. And it was just, it was really special.
And I love that you're smiling even when you're thinking about that. Like, that was clearly a very special connection with you, like that particular journey. Like, it was special for you as a facilitator.
Yeah, and I think what that's taught me through the process is this idea in our culture that we need to effort. That we really have to like force and push and like do things to get stuff done.
It's so hard that way. It's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard. The times in my life where I've pushed and been in that scarcity mentality and pushed and, you know, in my mind been like, I can do this. I can fight through it. It's so stressful. Mm-hmm. And it just burns you out.
Yeah. And I think the plants, most of them are, a lot of them are nervines. So that means they calm the nervous system. So just by being around them, being with the earth, with the green, could be even just laying on the grass, like that, receiving those negative ions from the waterfalls and just being in nature is stress relief, anti-anxiety, calming.
Yeah.
So noticing, like, when we want to relax, do we sit in front of the television? Because that's what I grew up doing. That was how I kind of relaxed, was just to watch TV.
Tune out a little bit.
I still do. I watched a movie last night. It was great.
Yeah.
Sure. But then there's the other thing of like, let me get outside and just absorb, because there's so many gifts constantly being given to us if we just slow down and notice them.
Yeah. And, you know, I find that when I have conversations with people who, you know, because I also work in a hospital setting with my Reiki practice, and I find that, you know, when I talk to people who get out in nature, they connect with their loved ones who have passed on. When they spend a week at the lake, they're just so much more centered. It really is. It's a very different relationship with the physical and the non-physical world when we get outside and stay out there for a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. You know, it shifts our brain, you know.
Totally.
It's like you said, it's those plants are nervines, and they literally take all that extra stress out of our nervous system.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of fear around nature too, you know. A lot of people have fear about being out in the woods, and you know, even sometimes like walking at night in the woods, that would scare me. So I understand that there's fear, and there's good fear and healthy fear. And then there's fear that we can lean into a little bit and rekindle our relationship and our trust with the earth.
Yeah.
Because that's really where we receive everything is from the earth, you know.
Can we talk a little bit more about how do we know what's healthy fear and what's the fear that we can lean into?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, bears,
mm-hmm.
right? And ticks, that's, people really get super, mm-hmm. we don't have to get into that in depth, but how do we distinguish our own fear about maybe watching Jaws as a kid and having that kind of information infiltrated in our subconscious versus the fear that we can lean into and explore our boundaries?
Yeah, I think of healthy fear is any time when we feel that the safety of our bodies is in question. So if a car is coming at you know, down the road and we're in the middle of it and our fear body makes us react and get out of the road, that's a healthy fear.
That is very healthy fear. Stay alive, people, stay alive.
And then I think that you feel that adrenaline rush after of something, you know, breaking quickly on the highway. Feel that rush of cortisol in the body.
Yeah, you just feel that flesh go all the way down your arms and grip the steering. Yeah, that's tangible.
Right. But then there's this underlying kind of more created in our minds fear that blocks us from really being ourselves and that curiosity and trusting ourselves and who we are and what we want to do in the world, and that kind of prevents us from believing in ourselves or going after what we really want. And that kind of fear can be can put us back, can pull us backwards, and can pull us out of our alignment with our centers. And I'm just that idea that that if we're living in fear, then I'm just thinking of children, especially, like, if you can imagine, like, growing up somewhere that's not safe constantly, like, that must be so hard. That's just so hard on the body and so hard on the nervous system to build trust. And so having that underlying fear that maybe when you're not in a threatening situation anymore, that fear is still there, but you're not in that threatening situation anymore. It's coming back up. So that's a place to notice, okay, am I safe right now? Like, yes, I am safe and there isn't something coming at me. But am I feeling afraid? You know, that's the question.
Right.
Am I feeling afraid when it's actually safe? Can I lean into that fear and ask why it's there? Is it serving me? Is it keeping me small? Is it keeping me safe from what? So just I think being curious about fear, that kind of fear that's not the safety one, because then that creates just a constant level of stress on the body.
Yeah.
And so releasing cortisol repeatedly throughout the day while we're at work or driving for work, and just having that cortisol being released throughout the day eventually drains the adrenal systems and the kidney systems, they call it in Chinese medicine. So yeah, I think it's important to have a balance.
Absolutely.
Have fun too.
Yeah. And I feel like that's why you're such a great facilitator. I mean, you're a great facilitator for a lot of reasons. But I feel like I do have a kind of deeper understanding about how you can bring out a little bit more of that earthy playfulness when bringing people outside and getting them to lean into those spaces that might be a little bit more fear-based and might be affecting their adrenals and that kind of stuff. So how do the plant, what kind of information do people walk away with, or what types of feelings or sensations do people walk away with after or during these plant spirit journeys? Like, I know you kind of talked a little bit about how it might be the smells, it might be, you know, very sensational, it might be very body centered. Can you tell us a little bit more about how people have responded to some of these plant spirit journeys or what it's done for them?
Yeah, the word that I just ended with in the last question was balance. So I think they experience a lot of balance. In balance of the yin and the yang is what we call it in Chinese medicine. So feeling, if your back is really tight and constricted and achy, that's like kind of yang. And then if after receiving body work or plant spirit journeys, like noticing how does my back feel now, maybe that yang energy has received a little bit of yin and can relax, and so calming, you know, grounded, alive, connected, trust in themselves and trust in the earth. And I would hope people feel more excited about what they're bringing to the world. And
yeah.
I think it's all about having that connection to the earth and to each other, and then from that place growing and blossoming into why we're here, you know, what is our purpose. Because I would hope that people experience joy in what they're doing every day, you know.
That's the ideal, you know. That's how we know we're living in our, that's one clue if we're living in alignment or if we're a little bit off of balance. Absolutely. How we're bringing our work into the world. And so Hannah, you're telling me a little bit about how, so you have a lot of cool stuff that you're doing in terms of the products that you're making. I know this, the full moon ghee that you have has been, like, I've seen you on TV. That's, no, it was so cute. You were like chefing up breakfast alongside the news anchor. It was a really cute little segment. So the full moon ghee has kind of taken a life of its own. Like that's very popular in this area. And you're doing farmers markets and you're making all kinds of really cool stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about, let's talk about the full moon ghee first, and then we can kind of talk about the range of stuff that you offer in sync with the consultations and the plant spirit journeys and a lot of additional things that you do. What is ghee to start?
Ghee is clarified butter.
Okay.
So there's no lactose or milk in it, and it's shelf stable, lasts about a year. And it is a 485 degree smoke point, so you can cook really high heat with it. And it's made with local butter, so I call it the coconut oil of New England.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I like that. So because it doesn't have the lactose in it, does that mean that if people are lactose intolerant, if they usually aren't good with dairy, that it's a little bit more gentle on their system? Are they able to, or is that still?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I would try a little bit first if you're really sensitive to dairy, but we strain out all of the milk. So there's no lactose. There might be trace amounts of casein, but all of the dairy component, the milk, gets strained out of the butter.
So what are you doing with all of this ghee? And why are you making it in the full moon?
So it kind of became a little branch off of the herbal company. Mm-hmm. It's its own business. It's it is another product that I offer in addition to herbal products that I first learned about it when I was studying yoga and Ayurveda at Kripalu. And they had it at all the meals at the cafeteria at the center. And got curious about it, started to learn a little more on my own, and then some friends of mine were making it, and I was like, this is really good. Like, and I'm, you know, I like to sell things, so I was like, we should bring this to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
And we brought like 6 jars in tiny little mason jars, and they were gone. People were really into them. A lot of people knew what it was, a lot of people didn't, but it just involved education. And ghee is what's called sattvic, so it's really calming, nourishing, building, aids digestion, cooling for ulcers, colitis, and it's used in Ayurvedic medicine or Eastern Indian medicine for healing all sorts of ailments of the skin, the digestive tract, the eyes even.
It's got a lot of uses.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, as some people would say, a big hug. Yeah.
I like that. And you have the original, and now you have, I saw online that you have maple ghee and then chocolate ghee and then all these other rosemary flavors as well as turmeric. So you have all, like, a whole line of ghee products now.
Yeah, I always really wanted to make a Ayurvedic one. So with, you know, cardamom, cinnamon, ginger, turmeric, black pepper. So that was like the long-term vision. But then along the way, people were like, what about like sweet flavors too for our kids? So I started with maple and chocolate.
Oh.
And then I just thought rosemary garlic would be delicious because rosemary and garlic sauteed in like butter is pretty delicious. So.
And I saw that you're going to be at the upcoming Garlic and Arts Festival,
right?
I'd imagine you're going to bring some of that rosemary garlic full
moon
ghee.
Yeah, that was
with you.
Actually why I started making it. The first year I went to the festival, people were like, you should make garlic ghee. And I was like, oh, that is a good idea. So a year later, you know, brought it there.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Cool. Very cool. What's the most popular one?
I would say the rosemary garlic.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Depends on the season, though. Like, in around holiday time, the chocolate and the maple are pretty popular. Hmm. But rosemary garlic's my favorite, so.
Yeah. It's all that matters. We make what we like. So, and what other kind of, you have a whole range of stuff. Like, I know that you have everything from the loose tea all the way to, you know, like lip and face creams, as well as as well as essential oils. And you make blends that are, I'm assuming, part of your herbal consultation practice. Can you, what, out of all of that stuff that you're making, can you tell us what some of your favorites are?
Mm-hmm. Hands down, the Heart Spirit Support.
Mm.
It's a blend of tulsi and rose and lavender and hawthorn and reishi and cinnamon. And it's just very, like, sweet and nourishing and calming. And with all that's going on in the world constantly, I find that I feel sad a lot of the time,
yeah.
And it's hard to face it all. So turning to herbs like rose and tulsi, holy basil, and I'm drinking tulsi tea right now, is just, you know, why not? You know, they're here for a lot of reasons, but also for us. So absolutely. Having that bond with the plants is really, it's sweet. So Heart Spirit Support is one of my favorites. And then all of the teas and essential oils are grown and made in Sunderland at Full Kettle Farm.
Oh, cool.
Which is a 1-acre organic, not certified, but, you know, organic herb farm. And my friend Greg Disterhoff grows all the teas for that, which I sell. And then he recently built me a big herb dryer, so I've been growing things for clients.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't sell a lot of the tea at any of the markets that I grow, but when a person comes for a consultation, I make custom-made blends of tinctures and teas for them.
Cool. And so on the break, we were chatting a little bit about how not a ton of local herbalists make products. What drew you to this?
I think that's what initially drew me in, was the, like, hands-on component of being an alchemist, just like making stuff with my hands.
You are an alchemist.
And my closet became full of these jars and tinctures and bottles and things, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then it became a pantry, and then it became an office space. And so it just keeps growing and growing. And so, you know, I'm trying to scale back a little bit.
Like, I got to get rid of some of this stuff.
Yeah. But I think what drew me in was having that direct connection to the plants, because that's how I learn, is through really, you know, touching them and feeling them and smelling them and working with them.
Absolutely.
So I was just making fire cider, and elderberry syrup today, and just having that, like, yeah, chopping and mixing and blending, that process is so important to me because it grounds me in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to kind of, for me to get lost in the ideas and the, you know, the thoughts about a plant, and then just to be with them directly is healing in itself. So,
yeah.
And I think it's important to, you know, support, like, I'll buy local onions and support, you know, local garlic growers to put into the fighter cider, because I want to keep things as local as possible. And buy local apple cider vinegar, and just keep that into the keep that resource in the community here.
Yeah, and also, you know, if your hands are, like, touching everything, you know how the medicine is being made from start to finish. You know where you're sourcing the bottles, and, you know, everything. It's really the best way if you really are very sensitive to vibrations and plants. You know, to make that medicine from start to finish on your own.
Right.
Yeah, you're putting all your best qualities into that medicine.
Right. And I think it is, like, the option of the idea of doing wholesale, you know, and selling to stores doesn't appeal to me for that reason, because other than with the ghee, which, you know, I do that, I sell it in stores, but with the herbal products, I've thought, you know, about selling them to stores. And that's just, it takes a little bit away from it because I wouldn't be able to be making them. I'd have to hire more help and it would become a larger scale production.
Gotcha.
And the sort of the magic wouldn't be in it the way that I'd like for it to be.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I have control issues, but.
We all do to a certain extent. So I know you do the markets, the farmers markets. Can you tell us a little bit about where you are now, where people can find you and your products? Because your work is really amazing, and I think your medicine is really special. So I don't recommend everyone's work, but I always recommend yours because I think it is really, it's just luscious. It's really good stuff.
Thank you.
Of course.
I brought you some rose glycerin.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. That's yummy.
I'm very excited because I was looking at your blog post today all about that. So
yeah, I had a feeling. I just knew. I was like, what's yeah. Caroline going to want?
Yes.
Yeah.
So tell us where people can find you at the farmers markets.
I am at the Tuesday farmers market every week in Northampton.
Okay.
Which is behind Thorns and near the parking garage. And I'm at the Great Barrington Saturday Farmers Market every week. These all go from like, you know, April, May to November. So they're not through the winter. But in the winter, I'm at the Saturday Winter Farmers Market in Northampton at the Senior Center.
Mm.
And I'll be at Garlic and Arts Festival. I go to the Women's Herbal Conference in New Hampshire. I'll be at the Berkshire Botanical Harvest Festival next weekend. And my website has a listing of all the different markets that I'm at. And
on sweetbirchherbals.com as well, you can buy products online?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So I do ship. And I ship on twice a week.
Okay.
And you can... It's always a little more expensive with shipping, but if you live across the country,
sometimes you gotta get what you need.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends that move away and then are like, wait, I can't get that. Yeah.
Very cool. So you've got a whole range of stuff. So how can, we do still have a few more minutes. So tell us a little bit about what you have coming up, how people can find you, how they can kind of keep in contact. Because I know you really do have, you have really great workshops. You know, some of the workshops that you've had recently are Herbs for the Emotional and Psychological Heart. You've had a Tulsi Medicine Journey, which is a little bit more specific plant spirit medicine. That's, you know, like focused on that one particular herb. How can people kind of keep in touch with what you're doing?
The best way would be to go to my website, sweetbirchherbals.com, and sign up for the newsletter, because I write very infrequently and I update my website very infrequently.
But you're a great writer, though. You are a really, really great writer. So I whenever you do post content, it's always worth it. Has some really nice heart to it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And so that's the best way to keep updated on workshops and classes. And I'm going to be kind of doing a little makeover of the whole business this winter, and then launching a couple new programs in the spring that are oriented around apprenticeships and a five element subscription CSA box.
It's
a mail order, so you can receive it anywhere in the country, or you can pick it up from a farmer's market locally around here.
And so that would be kind of a bento box of your best products.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And they'll all be affiliated with each season. So like the winter time would be called, you know, water or nourish.
Okay.
So they would have nourishing herbs in it to build your adrenals and kidney systems throughout the winter. And spring will be, you know, wood time and rising up energy. So a little more energizing. So every 10 weeks, it's a little different what you get in the mail. So.
Very cool. And the herbs would be for like one person or for a family, or... Is there probably room to structure that how your individual or group needs?
Yeah, they'd be for one or two people, or you could share them. It's not like, you know, you get sample size things. I'm not really into the sample size tiny amounts.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's like a full bag of tea and a full jar of you know, salve or cream.
You're getting your products as they are.
Yeah.
Cool. Very cool. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to share with us before we wrap up, or anything else coming to mind that you wanted to throw out there?
No, just grateful to be here, and I welcome any, you know, emails and phone calls from people. Keep in touch and reach out, and would love to work together potentially, and I'm just so glad to be here, Caroline.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we got a chance to catch up and, you know, just kind of explore a little bit more about what you're doing at the moment. So we're going to close out today. We're going to maybe play a little bit of song from Pharrell Williams called Brand New. And you've been listening to Energy Matters. And I hope that everyone has a great evening. All right. Take care.